one of the largest Unitarian churches in the United States is here in the heartbed of Oral Roberts Town. We all know it, the buckle of the Bible Belt. Why do you think this Unitarian church was so large?
Well, not the least reason has to do with the fact that religion, organized religion, is very important in this part of the world. When I first came to Tulsa, my colleague in Dallas, who was my senior by many years, wrote me a long letter about what I would be required to do and how I best would do it. And among other things, he said, when I was in New England, I could preach a sermon on why I am a communist, and afterward they'd say, that was a fine sermon this morning, Dr. Abel, and so forth and so on. He says, down here I split an infinitive, and they're talking about it for 3 weeks. And this is the way it is down here. I mean, we live at the buckle of the Bible Belt, but religion's important. The church is important. First thing you're asked when you move to town is what church you go to. And that's not true in New England, and it's not true in many other places in the United States, but it's true here. And church is important here. That's part of it. That's a big part of it, I'm sure. The fact that there is a strong, well, like Oral Roberts, for example, and when I first came, Billy James Hargis. I mean, these were foils. Now, Oral and I had a good relationship for a long, long time, partly because of the Jones family, because the old folks, Richard Lloyd Jones and his wife, Georgia, lived in that Frank Lloyd Wright house over in Birmingham. And right around the corner, Oral Roberts and Evelyn lived. And they were very nice to those people. So the Jones family had a kind of an appreciative relationship because of that. And Jenkin Lloyd Jones, the editor of the paper, and Oral played off one another.
As you played off of Oral with the phrase Babylon on the Arkansas.
Yeah, well,
used a number
and
of times
a few other things I just want to say. Well, at the time when the Almighty, he screwed up something again, I thought. So I said something about it. The tornado hit Oral instead of me, and I said, missed again. And Oral never did get over that. And neither did the bishop, Carlton Pearson. He said, I used to drive by your church and just, because the devil was in there, you know.
Did you
Oral and I were friends.
Did you have theological discussions?
Because Oral was a mugwump. The minute you get into something, he'd say, I don't know anything about that, you know, and that sort of thing. And he would slough it off. Oral was more interested in joining the Chamber of Commerce and promoting Oral than he was anything else in this town. Oral didn't have any services here. When I first came to town, he had his headquarters and that sort of thing, but he never had any revivals here.
Before you came, he has talked about, because I interviewed him, he did have a tent meeting here that went...
Well, that was earlier.
Earlier on, yeah. But he still had his theology, what he believed, and did you challenge him about what he believed?
Oh, sure.
And then he would just be passive about it?
Mm-hmm. He would say, I don't want to go into all that, or something like that.
The question, though, that keeps coming up in relation to All Souls and yourself and Oral Roberts and all that that stands for, or that he stood for, is what the Pentecostal movement is in America and in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Whether that's a plus or a minus, is a minus, what are some of its problems?
Well, my feeling about Oral, I was always very, very interested in what he was doing and faith healing. That goes back to what I was saying about Meadville, Pennsylvania, and I got into it with Rex Hombard and his faith healing business down there, and his exploitation of people from the coal mining country of West Virginia and this kind of stuff. I was not too happy about this kind of appeal, you know, and I was sociologically speaking interested, if nothing else. Ernst Troeltsch was a German sociologist who years ago established what is referred to in the trade as a sect-type, church-type evolution. Like Methodism in this country started out with guys running around on horseback preaching out in the boonies. And the early Baptist movement were largely sects gathered by a preacher here and a preacher there.
The kind circuit of riders on top of the Boston Avenue Methodist Church.
Sure, yeah. Exactly.
Say that again.
But there are statues of circuit riders on the top of the Boston Avenue Methodist Church. And they're Methodist circuit riders.
But over a period of time, the generations passed. And the second generation, and sure by the third generation, they want an educated clergy. They want an established clergy. They want an established order. of some kind, discipline, the Methodists would say, at all, from a sect that goes into a church. Well, the Pentecostal movement in this country was moving from a Pentecostal sect-type organization, breaking off from the Assembly of God movement and stuff like that, into a church. And Oral was right on the cusp of this thing. The Oral Robert University, to me, was Ernst Schultz in capital letters. This was going to be where the Pentecostals were going to go and get their educated clergy, start a seminary, and they were going to educate their kids, and so forth and so on. What does he do? Joins the Methodist Church. I said, Oral, why would you do a dumb thing like that? You are right there on the edge of how the movement will tend. And I really believe that. He missed it.
He missed writing that because he joined the Methodist Church to become so-called more mainstream, I suppose,
right,
to broaden his appeal to even more Christian churches.
Historically speaking, sociologically speaking, he was a Pentecostal who was taking the Pentecostal movement from a sect to a church. And he was providing the conduit to do that. The Oral Roberts University was the premier, well, there's one over in the Assembly of God. What's the one in
Springfield?
Springfield.
Missouri.
John Brown.
Yeah, John Brown's another.
Yeah.
But Oral, way, way, way past any of the rest. And he missed it. If he had stayed there, he could have helped it go. But terrible thing happened to him. When Marshall Nash,
right,
son,
that would have been
his daughter, were killed in the airplane crash.
Right.
Subsequently,
you're talking about his son,
mm-hmm,
Ronnie?
Ronnie was a member of my congregation. He and his wife and his children. Oh, he'd come to church. I said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I hadn't signed out what kind of a place my children are going to.
And then Ronnie took his life.
And then Ronnie took his life. He's gay. And a lot of other things.
I might say elsewhere in this website, you can hear Oral talk about that. And he talks about Ronnie. So I would urge those who are interested in that topic, they can go hear Oral talk about it openly.
His grandson, the gate, spoke in All Souls this last summer.
I was there to hear that.
I thought it was a marvelous thing.
Right.
I thought you thought it was.
I did.
But I really thought it was a marvelous.
Randy is his name.
Anyway, nobody, in my opinion, loses a child and is ever the same again. He lost two, both of them, horrendous. And he was never the same man after that. It went from expect a miracle, something good's going to happen to you, to the devil's in the woodwork. It would, and a deep blackness just appeared. And then, of course, the whole movement started to go to seed with one thing and another.
He did use you to raise money, however.
Oh, he certainly did. He had clips of me. I told him one time, I said, you know, I raised more money than you than anybody. I wanted 10%. I thought I'd have a finder's fee. The clip he used was when they had the service to dedicate the university. They bought Billy Graham.
Yep.
And Billy Graham had said that he'd hoped that Oral Roberts University, which was dedicated to dissemination of Jesus Christ and his salvation, would not go the way of other universities who had also been so dedicated, like Harvard and Yale and Rutgers and Princeton and others. And I said, well, if Oral Roberts University turns out to be a real university, the Unitarians will have it in 25 years. Well, that's what this man is out to get us, you know. Send money.
If you don't send us money, John Wolfe will take us over.
He said he's going to get it in 25 years. Almost did, too. Anyway, the worst mistake I ever made, I ended up, somebody talked me into debating some fundamentalist in one of the public schools here, and it was a hot, hot summer, and it was packed. I just absolutely blew it. It was so bad. I told Oral after that, I said, I've learned one thing. A reasonable man never debates an irrational one and expects to come out alive.